Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in the textbooks. We will be continuing today with our study about lies concerning Islam. What are we teaching our children in our public school textbooks about the spread of the religion of Islam? Was there any other religion in all these lands which Islam took over? For we read
in the text, The American Vision, published by McGraw, Hill, Glencoe, copyright 2005, on page 27, the passage on Islam and West African civilization. Ideas, as well as goods, traveled along these African trade routes. Among the most significant of these were the religious ideas of Islam.
Here we go once again. General talk, just wonderful titles, and you have to fill in the blanks. Ideas, as well as goods, traveled along these African trade routes. Goods, we know, merchandise, food, animals, that is wonderful. But what are the ideas? And when they describe the ideas, it says, among the most significant of these were the religious ideas of Islam. What religious ideas? Can you give me some of these ideas so I can quickly become a Muslim? What ideas? Very positive picture. If these Islamic ideas are very significant, why can't the textbooks share them with us? Let me share with you some of these great Islamic ideas, and then you can tell me, is this a good reason for why African countries become Muslims? One important fact I'd like to share with you is that throughout all these African lands, there were plenty of Christian ideas. Because Christianity had already flourished all over these lands for over 600 years. And now Muslims came with their significant ideas. Another important question, did the people of the countries of Africa understand these significant ideas of Islam? Sometimes we forget about the importance of the language. You see, the people of Africa did not speak Arabic, and none of Muhammad's ambassadors spoke the language of the people of Africa. So how were these significant ideas transmitted from the Muslim to the African people? Did the Muslim bother to translate their holy Quran to this other people language so they can share with them these ideas? Or somehow magically the ideas transformed into a sword and a shed of blood? It's amazing. When I read anything positive about Islam, I wonder how in the world people come up with this even good thought. Because there is nothing positive about Islam. There is no good, significant ideas in Islam. If occupying a land, killing the male, raping the females, and taking children as slaves, if these are good, significant ideas, then we have something to talk about concerning Islam. For within 70-80 years after the Muslim invaded North Africa, the whole entire countries of North Africa were Muslims. How? It's very simple. They killed the male and raped the female and took the children for slaves. That's what it is. And then the new generation, which came out of the rape, were Muslim generation. And then 2-3 generations later, now all these countries controlled by Muslim population, not just the Muslim significant ideas, but Muslim barbaric children. And the message continues from the early 7th century until today. 1400 years later, we today can see the true picture of Islam in Egypt, in Libya, in Tunisia, in Morocco, in Mali, in any of these Muslim countries of Africa. And today, thank God for technology, the internet and the phones and the TVs and satellite, we start to know about some of the effects of what is happening in this African country, the persecution of the Christian by the Muslims. Burning churches is nothing new. Killing Christian is not a new thing. It's just happening the last 20 years. For Christian always suffer persecution by the hands of the Muslim all over these countries. Since the day their significant ideas came to our land. And that's what exactly we should teach our children in our public schools. Not this wonderful baloney, hogwash, lies of Islam. Let me say it for the millionth time. You want to teach Islam? Open the Quran and read to me what Allah said. Open the Hadith and read to me what Muhammad said. I don't want to hear any of your personal opinion of what Islam ideas is or is not. Let me share with you some of these great ideas of Islam, especially concerning women. First, the Quran states that men are in charge of women. Quran chapter 4 verse 34. And it tells us why. Because Allah prefers some of them above the other. Allah prefers men above women. Isn't that a good idea, boys and girls? That's why Allah in the Quran allowed men to beat their wives. For in Quran chapter 4 verse 34, Allah said, "And of whom you fear rebellion, so speak to them and separate from them in beds and scourge them." That is not if the women rebel, but if men fear that their wives is about to rebel. You beat them. And don't worry, Muslim scholars told us, how much is this beating? It has to be soft beating. In his explanation, Ibn Kathir said, punishment should be light beating, should not cause broken bones or shed of blood. You see, boys and girls, here is the truth about good ideas in Islam. Your dad can beat your mama as long as he does not break her bones or shed her blood. That is a good idea we learn in Quran chapter 4 and verse 34. Another significant Muslim idea in Islam is that a man's testimony is equal to two women's testimony, because women have deficiency in their mind. Where do we learn this, boys and girls? It's still in the Quran, Quran chapter 2 and verse 282, where Allah said, if you need witness, you call two men as a witness. So if there's not two men, so one man and two women of those among you whom you are pleased for witnesses. So that, here is the reason, boys and girls, if one of them should make an error, the other may cause her to remember. Women do not remember because they are somehow made stupid. No kidding. Even in the inheritance, women inherit half of what the man receives. Where did we learn this significant Islamic idea? It all came from the Quran. In Quran chapter 4, verse 11, Allah said, Allah command you concerning your children, to the male the like portion of two females. And by the way, boys and girls, another significant Islamic idea is when Muslim women die, most of them burn in hell. If you look at Muhammad's word in the Hadith, in Kunuz al-Ulum, we read that one woman of 99 women is in heaven and the rest of them are in fire. Or Muhammad also said in Sahih al-Bukhari, Hadith number 5251, Muhammad said, as I stood by the gate of hell, I saw that most of those who enter the gate are women. You see, boys and girls, this was the significant Muslim ideas which causes Islam to spread all over North Africa. And that's why all the people who heard these great ideas loved Islam as they embraced this wonderful religion, the religion of Islam. And that's just one thought. I can go on and on and on for hours to cover the backwards ideas, the foolish ideas of Islam as you read throughout the Quran. So we must remove these wonderful, significant Muslim ideas out of our textbooks unless Muslims and liberals can show me some of this propaganda in the teaching of Islam, the Quran, and the Hadith.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the Darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus, and many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugarcoated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Let's continue with the lies in this passage, for it says,
in the early AD 600s, Islam began winning converts outside of its native Arabia.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Because now not only we have the Arab belief in Islam, but non-Arab believe in Islam. Now I wonder, did the textbook explain to our children that the Quran was never translated to any other language? That means all the people who believed in Islam, these people who were forced into Islam, never heard the Quran in their own language, never learned about the great ideas of Islam. I mean, I wonder how in the world all these countries accepted Islam within a few years after Muhammad claimed to be a prophet, after Muhammad sent his militant to all these countries. Muhammad sent hundreds of thousands of men, not with the gospel of Muhammad, no, but with the sword of Muhammad. And that's how these countries embrace Islam. So if the textbook will tell us that Islam began winning converts outside of the native Arabia, then the textbook must tell our students how they won these converts. It is by the sword. And if they don't have the guts to tell our children the entire truth of how Islam spread outside of Saudi Arabia land, then they must stop teaching this propaganda about the spread of Islam somewhere else. Let's continue. A little bit more of the lies.
By 711, Islam, whose followers are called Muslims, had spread all the way across northern Africa to the Atlantic Ocean. Through both armed conquest and a sense of religious solidarity that Islam promoted, this new creed won wide acceptance.
Well, I'm glad the textbooks mention here the conquest of the followers of Islam, the Muslim, to North African countries. But the textbook forgot to tell the student that these armies of Muhammad were killing the Christians and the Jews to accomplish their goal in North Africa and everywhere else. Let's look at one more portion of lies in the same passage. For we read,
by the 900s, the nomadic people who controlled the trade caravans in the Sahara had become Muslim as well.
So now, boys and girls, we're looking at Islam over 200 years later. Now, did the textbooks told us how the nomadic people who live in the Sahara, which means in the desert, how these people believed in Islam, how they convert Islam? You know, it is very simple to present Islam to be sweet and honey, but that's not the truth about Islam. I don't see chocolate and sugar in Islam, but I see blood. for these nomadic people who live in the Sahara were forced into Islam. Their men were killed and their women were raped. And of course, 200 years later, you end with a new Muslim generation of those nomadic people. Why is the textbook covering all the facts about the expanding of Islam in North Africa or in the Sahara, but in the same time, our textbook is not telling our children the whole entire truth about the occupation and the invasion of Islam to the Christian world and many Jews? Let's continue with the last portion of the lies concerning the spread of the religion of Islam in Africa.
They in turn carried Islam across the Sahara into the heart of West Africa, where many people living in the region's cities and markets towns would eventually embrace it.
Yes, indeed, boys and girls, all these wonderful Muslims who believed in the loving, peaceful Islam moved from one city to another, doing nothing but sharing the love of Allah and the love of Muhammad with the people of Africa. And that's why today we have wonderful Muslim countries like Egypt and Libya and Tunisia and Morocco and Mali and Mauritania and Somalia and Sudan. All these countries who embraced Islam. That is what I call propaganda Islam. It started by the sword, it continued by the sword, and if anyone would like to get out of Islam, he or she will be killed by the sword. And that is another good idea which has caused Islam to exist until today. Not only Muslims force their Islam on the Christians and the African people, they actually kept Islam in all these countries in Africa the last 1400 years with the same sword. It's called the killing of the apostate. Anyone who leaves the cult of Islam must be put to death. Where do we read that? It is in the Quran. And that is another great Islamic idea we should teach to our children in our public schools. Hey, boys and girls, we're doing everything we can do here to deceive you, to make you believe in Islam. But here is another fact about Islam. If you choose to leave Islam anytime in the future, you or your children or your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, if you leave Islam, we must kill you. Why? Because that is the ideas of Islam. Quran chapter 6 and verse 151. Allah said, "And do not kill the soul which Allah forbid, except with a just cause." And this verse is repeated in the Quran in chapter 17 verse 33 and in chapter 25 and verse 68. So in Islam, you cannot kill a Muslim because that is the soul which Allah forbid to be killed. But you can kill a Muslim if he or she did one of the following three things. Like what? You read in the hadith, Sahih Muslim, Muhammad said, "The blood of the Muslim cannot be shed except in three cases. In the case of murder, in the case of committing adultery, and in the case of apostation." That is, if a Muslim leave Islam, he or she must be put to death. Don't you love these wonderful ideas about Islam? Now I'd like to read to you what is written in Citizens for National Security. When you read these passages, which is written obviously by Muslims or some ignorant liberal atheists who hate Christianity, who hate Judaism, you'll notice the following. There is no mention of Judaism, Christianity, or any other religion in these passages. It's just Islam, boys and girls, went to North Africa, people embraced it, and moved to the rest of the world. That's not true. It is as though Islam was the first religion. In fact, Judaism and Christianity both predate the Muslim religion. The Bible states that God promised the land known as Israel to the Jewish people nearly 4,000 years ago. The promises are made first to Abraham and later to his descendant. The promise repeated throughout the Old and the New Testament of the Bible. The age and historical reliability of the Bible has been documented by many scholars. William F. Albert, one of the world's most renowned archaeologists, states there can be no doubt that archaeology has confirmed the substantial historicity of Old Testament tradition. under David, king of Israel, circa 1,000 years B.C., Jerusalem was established as the capital of Israel. The Jewish prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah over 700 years before Jesus was born. The New Testament of the Bible, written by the Jewish apostle, documents the life of the foretold Messiah, Jesus Christ, by four separate gospel accounts. Roman historians document and support the statements made in the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. Judaism exists over 2,100 years before Muhammad claimed to hear Allah. Christianity, based on Jewish prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, existed 600 years before the founding of Islam by Muhammad. At the very least, Christianity and Judaism need to be discussed before any discussion of Islam. I believe if Muslims or liberals would like to teach the expanding of Islam to the world, they cannot separate it from teaching Quran chapter 33, verse 26 and 27, which clearly stated that Muslims killed the males and raped the females and kept the children as slaves. And that's how they inherited the homes and the land and the money of the Jews and the Christians, and a land they never set foot on. But to present Islam to be great ideas and people embraced it and people fall in love with it, that is propaganda, hogwash, and it must be removed from our textbooks. To learn more about lies in our textbooks of why Islam spread throughout the land and the treatment of the Jews and the Christians, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.